You may be seated. And if you would this evening, turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 13. We're going to consider really the first part of our little mini-series in 2 Samuel, Learning from Evil. And we're going to consider the subject of the power of sinful passions. The power of sinful passions. I'm going to read just a couple excerpts because we've heard these passages. I'm going to read the first half of 2 Samuel 13 and then a couple sections on in the second half as we consider the passions that drove both Amnon and Absalom. So we'll begin in verse 1 of chapter 13. Now Absalom, David's son, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar. And after a time, Amnon, David's son, loved her. And Amnon was so tormented that he made himself ill because of his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And it seemed impossible to Amnon to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a crafty man, and he said to him, O son of the king, why are you so haggard morning after morning? Will you not tell me? And Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. Jonadab said to him, lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, let my sister Tamar come and give me bread to eat, and prepare the food in my sight, that I may see it and eat it from her hand. And so Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, please let my sister Tamar come and make a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat from her hand. And then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him. And so Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, where he was lying down. And she took dough and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and emptied it out before him. But he refused to eat. And Amnon said, send out everyone from me. And so everyone went out from him. And then Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food into the chamber that I may eat from your hand. And Tamar took the cakes she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. But when she brought them near him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, no, my brother, do not violate me, for such a thing is not done in Israel. Do not do this outrageous thing. As for me, where could I carry my shame? And as for you, you would be as one of the outrageous fools in Israel. Now, therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. But he would not listen to her. And being stronger than she, he violated her and lay with her. And then Amnon hated her with very great hatred, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, get up and go. But she said to him, no, my brother, for this wrong in sending me away is greater than the other that you did to me. But he would not listen to her. He called the young man who served him and said, put this woman out of my presence and bolt the door after her. Now she was wearing a long robe with sleeves, for thus were the virgin daughters of the king dressed. So his servant put her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head and tore the long robe that she wore, and she laid her hand on her head and went away crying aloud as she went. And her brother Absalom said to her, has Amnon your brother been with you? Now hold your peace, my sister. He is your brother. do not take this to heart. And so Tamar lived a desolate woman in her brother Absalom's house. And when King David heard of all these things, he was very angry. But Absalom spoke to Amnon neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had violated his sister Tamar. And then in the following passage, once David allowed his sons to go to Absalom's party, we read, "Then Absalom commanded his servants, 'Mark when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say to you, strike Amnon, then kill him. Do not fear. Have I not commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant.' And so the servants of Absalom did to Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and each mounted his mule and fled. And while they were on the way, news came to David, 'Absalom has struck down all the king's sons, and not one of them is left.' And then the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the earth. And all his servants who were standing by tore their garments. But Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother, said, 'Let not my lord suppose that they have killed all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon alone is dead. For by the command of Absalom, this has been determined from the day he violated his sister Tamar. Now therefore, let not my lord the king so take it to heart as to suppose that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon alone is dead.'" Let's pray. Our Father, as we turn again to a hard passage of Scripture, we ask that you would soften our hearts and that your Spirit would work in us to show us how Absalom and Amnon are really a reflection of us. Help us to see our sin and what drives us and turn to Christ. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to consider the power of sinful passions this evening. And you know, passion, a passion that you have in your heart and mind and will, can drive you to greatness at times. You think about the basketball greats, the Michael Jordans, the LeBron James, and Steph Currys. They have shown us how passion for basketball, and maybe in LeBron's case, like winning rings or whatever, has led them to greatness. Passion can lead us to greatness in other times. I have a really good friend who was interested in a young woman when they were in college. She just wasn't interested in him. But he won her heart with patience and thoughtful letters expressing his love for her, his passion for his studies and his work. And what happened was one day that woman, who hadn't thought much of him at first, fell in love with him through his passionate persistence. Passion can drive us to reach goals. It can drive us to do things that we would never achieve otherwise. But passion can also exercise a power to drive us to destruction. I suspect that if we were to survey the power of passion on lives in history, the power of sinful passions in countless lives of normal people would shock us. Sinful passion, it has an unfair advantage over good, godly passion, because sinful passion finds its home in our sinful hearts very easily. And since we think way too high of ourselves, we let sinful passions live in our hearts and our minds as if we actually have the power to control them. We treat these dangerous enemies like a box of cookies you keep in the back of the pantry. You know, that box of cookies or the chocolate you keep in the back of the pantry so that you can just cheat with just one indulgence every once in a while. The problem, though, with our sinful passions is that you cannot resist the temptation to think about them, like you cannot ignore those cookies in the back of your pantry. So I want you to consider this evening the power of sinful passions. In 2 Samuel 13, the Holy Spirit gives us a lesson, a graphic and painful lesson about the power of sinful passions, specifically those two passions of coveting and hatred. Amnon lusted after his sister Tamar. And that lust, as we considered a couple weeks ago, was actually hatred, but it was also the sin of coveting. And Absalom was filled with hatred for Amnon because he violated his sister. And the rest of the story of David's family will reveal that Absalom's desire for his father's throne, in other words, his covetous heart, fueled his hatred for Amnon as well. Coveting and hatred, these are passions that can produce in our hearts physical and psychological torment. And so without repentance and the grace of God, these passions will lead you to destruction, to destroy your lives, and to destroy the lives of the people around you. And so this evening, take a look at how these passions destroyed people in the lives of Amnon and Absalom. I'd like to consider our first point, how sinful passions destroy yourself. And so think about destroying yourself with coveting and hatred. You see, these sinful passions can destroy you. Coveting can capture your heart and wreck your life. It makes you serve whatever it is that you long for that you shouldn't have as you would God. It becomes your God. In Amnon's situation, he wanted to sleep with his half-sister Tamar, but she was forbidden to him by God himself. And still, he thought about her beauty night and day. And instead of glorifying the Lord with a holy love for his sister, Amnon lusted after his sister. He thought about what he wanted to do to her. He likely imagined doing it to her. And the fact that he couldn't have her tormented him. In verse 2, we read that this lust made Amnon sick. His mind was already sick from his desire for his sister. But this lust affected his body too. You see, a desire that promised physical satisfaction to him actually corrupted Amnon's mind and made his body weak and ill. And then as Amnon nurtured this passion with his attention to it, he became willing to risk his own life for a sinful pleasure. His covetous lust seemed to control him. Really, much like heroin or cocaine controls an addict. Amnon destroyed his family relationships. He destroyed his love for his sister. He destroyed his own life by feeding his passion for this sin, his passion for Tamar, even though the Lord had not given her to him. You see, coveting can capture your heart and wreck your life. And hatred can do the same thing. It can capture your heart and wreck your life also. There are tons of examples in history and in maybe in our contemporary world of how hatred has destroyed the lives of men and women and families and nations. But here we find a very graphic, intimate picture of how hatred destroyed a life. Absalom, he destroyed his life and the life of others with sinful passion, just like Amnon did. You see, Absalom, in a realistic way, felt the pain of his sister Tamar. And so hatred began to burn in his heart too. Now, Absalom already had developed a covetous desire to take his father's throne. That was already in his heart. But that secret desire fueled the hatred in his heart. Before David refused to discipline Amnon, Absalom already planned revenge. And then the lack of justice for his sister was an understandable temptation. But Absalom's hatred began to control him. It began to burn inside of him. In verse 22, he wouldn't talk to his half-brother because he hated Amnon. See, what Absalom did was really the same thing that Amnon did. Absalom indulged this hatred in his heart. He did it for 2 years while he planned to murder his brother. That sinful passion drove Absalom to an act that banished him from his father as an enemy. And their relationship never was recovered. This hatred, along with his lust for his father's kingdom, led to numerous other sins. But most importantly, while these passions drove him with a desire for power and satisfaction, they really just led to his premature death. We'll learn that Absalom will have a moment of glory and surely a moment of vigilante justice and a taste, that hint of revenge and satisfaction. But all of this was only a moment that preceded his ruin. You see, sinful passions, as you embrace them in your life, can destroy your life just as easily today as it destroyed the life of Amnon and Absalom. If you play with these passions, if you play with sexual desires outside of marriage, they'll begin to consume your heart. Pornography has devastating effects on men and on women. It will damage your relationship with your spouse or your future spouse. It may lead you to act out in sexual immorality and even do things that you never imagined before. And even lust for a real man or a real woman in your life can destroy you just like it destroyed Amnon. The high you get from drugs and alcohol, that the passion to feel that way can take control of your life as well. The desire for power and prestige and wealth that can creep in your heart, into your heart, and steal your love for Christ. And then it can lead you on a quest for glory that really will only lead to your emptiness. So the first thing I want you to understand about sinful passions and their power is they can lead you to destroy yourself. And coveting, whether it's a sexual desire for someone else or any other covetousness, whether it's hatred, these two passions are some of the strongest passions in our hearts, and they can destroy you, and they will destroy you. The second thing I want you to understand is that when sinful passions capture your will, they will lead you to destroy other people also. It's really our second point this evening. Amnon and Absalom are great examples of the destruction that occurs around us when we indulge in hatred and coveting and all the other realm of sinful passions. And I want you to think about the two main victims in this story. The first one is obvious. It's Tamar. Amnon and Absalom, both of these men destroyed Tamar's life. Tamar, she was a daughter of a king. She was the daughter of King David. She was a virgin. She was beautiful. She would easily find a husband to love her and to enjoy as his wife. But Amnon, he didn't see what the Lord had given to Tamar. He only saw what he could do to her physically. And he probably never thought about what he would do to her and the rest of her life if he acted on his passion. So Amnon stole Tamar's life when he raped her. After that, no man wanted to marry a woman who had been promiscuous. And without vindication, everyone would question Tamar and her involvement with her brother. And so you see, Amnon stole her desire to be married and raise a family. He stole her purity, and he destroyed her life. But I want you to know, Absalom played a significant role in destroying her life as well. Absalom seemed like a caring brother when he rescued Tamar. But I want you to look a little closer at Absalom's influence in Tamar's life. She went to him broken. She went to him violated with all the shame and pain of being raped by her brother. She went to him likely thinking, what will people say of me when they see me in public? She probably had all of those wrong thoughts that maybe she was at fault somehow. Her heart and her hopes were broken. And then as her brother opened his home to her, he said to her, "Now hold your peace, my sister. Amnon is your brother. Do not take this to heart." What kind of response is that? What did he want her? Why did he want her to hold her peace? He asked her to keep quiet in her grief and not make these family matters public. But she had just been raped. Her brother Amnon had just stolen her hopes of marriage and family. And yet Absalom asked her not to go public and not seek justice. He said, "Do not take this to heart." And I cannot imagine how those words affected Tamar. Why shouldn't she be upset? Why did Absalom silence his sister? Well, he was driven by sinful passion. He was driven toward the satisfaction of killing Amnon himself. You see, I don't really think Absalom was so concerned about Tamar as much as he seemed to be on the surface. I think he really just served his hatred. He was only thinking about himself. And look how his pursuit of revenge destroyed Tamar. The summary of her life is this: so Tamar lived, a desolate woman, in her brother Absalom's house. It's true she was free to come and go, but Absalom had enslaved her in her grief. He emptied her of her dignity. He held her hostage until he could get what he wanted, until he could have the personal satisfaction of revenge. Absalom destroyed Tamar's life as well because his hate would not seek true healing for her. The second victim here was David's household. David and his house were also victims of Absalom's sinful passion. When Absalom murdered Amnon, David's sons, they fled for their lives. That delight of knowing peace within their household, it was totally gone. Absalom shed blood in David's family. And David was now reduced and driven to weeping for his sons because he thought they were all dead. And then when Jonadab went to comfort David, what's remarkable is he used almost the same words that Absalom used to comfort Tamar. And the message is pretty much the same. He said, "Now therefore, let not my lord the king so take it to heart as to suppose that all the king's sons are dead. For Amnon alone is dead." Okay, it was better than David thought at first. But a father still grieves his son's death. Absalom stole Amnon from David. He had violated David's authority, and yet David was asked just to get over it. You see, Absalom fractured David's family permanently. It was the first act of violence that would lead to David leaving Jerusalem, fleeing for his life, knowing that his own son had stolen his kingdom and that his own son would hunt him down as a criminal like Saul had done before. And so What is the point of considering the victims, David and Tamar? The point's this: don't fool yourself thinking that your secret passions are private. If you aren't careful, if you do not abandon the sinful passions in your heart and your mind, you may destroy your life. And you will take other people with you. And if you don't believe this passage of Scripture or what I'm saying, just think about Absalom and what he did. Think about how Judas's covetous desire for riches drove him and what it drove him to. Think about the countless examples of people who thought they could play with the fire of their lust and hatred, but only caught fire themselves and damaged lives all around them. Sinful passions will destroy you, and they will destroy the people around you. And I'd like to consider our third point at this time. I want to consider how we resist sinful passions. As we've studied the negative examples in 2 Samuel 13, we've tried to learn from them. And you know, we all need a sober warning to resist the sinful passions in our lives. Lust, whether it is sexual lust or some other kind of lust, can seduce your heart and mind. Hatred can grow a root of bitterness in your heart so deep that you may not escape it completely in this life. And so we must resist these sinful passions. And the place to start is the Word of God, especially the Word preached. It's a powerful tool and means to confront your secret passions. And you know what they are. You know the things, the sinful lust in your heart. Maybe that no one else knows. Maybe that your spouse doesn't even know. You know those things, those cookies, that secret stash of chocolate in the back of the pantry. You know those wicked desires that you still like and want to indulge in the corner of your heart where you think no one else can see. You know those passions you hide in your heart, or those things that drive your thoughts and words and deed. And you need to resist these passions and do it by a renewal of your mind through the Word of God. And you can begin doing this by asking yourself some questions. This morning I mentioned that you can begin to deal with being a victim and living with injustice and that desire for vindication, even though you have to wait for it. You can wait for it with satisfaction. And as you take the instructions from the Scripture, and one thing was, whenever you get angry, don't fuel it. Whenever the anger that you have towards someone who has hurt you comes into your heart and mind, don't meditate upon it. In a very same way, when you start thinking about sinful passions, we kind of have to be a little base because the Scripture is base. Whenever you start having those sinful sexual thoughts or that greed, that lust for power or whatever it is, that hatred, whenever you start having these passions come alive and capture your mind and your emotions and your will, you need to realize what's going on and start asking some questions so that you can start resisting them. And the first question you need to ask is, do I desire what God has forbidden? Is this passion I have, this desire I have something that God has forbidden? You know, Amnon knew that his lust for Tamar was forbidden. He even says, Tamar was his brother Absalom's sister, so there was nothing that he could do to her. He knew it was sinful, but he chose lust over God's glory. You need to think about those desires and interests that consume your thoughts and your time. And if you love something that God forbids, you need to fight that passion. Don't feed the desire with time or study. It may mean when you're lying in bed waiting to go to sleep that you just need to get up and do something else. It may mean that you need to pick up your Psalter and sing some psalms, or you need to start praying and begging the Lord to take those thoughts and desires from your mind at that moment. So a first way to resist in sinful passions is identify them and ask, do I desire something that God has forbidden me to have? The second question to ask, and certainly in the context of this passage, do I desire what God has given to someone else? Do I desire what God has given to someone else? The real question is, am I coveting? Am I living out breaking the 10th commandment? God clearly forbids desire for what he has given to someone else. And so if you are passionate about someone else's blessing, that passion, it will torment you. And it may even lead you to act on it by stealing or murder. And so pray for a release from that desire. If you are desiring something that God has given to someone else, you need to know right off the bat, that is not something that I should be messing with. It is a sinful desire, a dangerous desire. Pray for release from that desire. Otherwise, it will become an idol, and you will serve it and worship it to the neglect of God, and ultimately to your destruction and the destruction of others' lives around you, especially those who have that thing that you want. The third question I want you to consider asking when you have a passion that is in your heart and mind, so that you might resist sinful passions, is this: has your attitude toward another person remotely become hatred? If so, repent and remember how you do not deserve to have wrath upon someone because you yourself deserve God's wrath for your sin. Remember how you have been forgiven so that you might be able to forgive the other person or look graciously upon them. But here's the problem. A lot of us think we can handle stuff like this. We're just stupid, thinking that we can handle a little bitterness or hatred. But you know what? I bet Absalom was a bigger man than all of us. Don't think that you're a stronger man or woman than Absalom. And hatred took over his heart and took control. And hatred will grow to become a monster in your heart as well if you fuel it and embrace it and meditate upon it. Actually, I said that wrong. Hatred will actually grow until it makes you a monster, and until it destroys your life, and until you destroy the lives of people around you. So as you resist sinful passions, and you have to begin by discerning them, if they're even lawful things to consider. And the first is, do I desire what God has forbidden? Second is, do I desire what God has given to someone else? And the third is, has my attitude toward another remotely become hatred? I hope you understand the power and the danger of sinful passions. And I hope that you're convicted that you and I must wage war against the sinful passions in our heart and do it until we die. But as much as we are responsible to fight our sinful thoughts and emotions, we will completely fail if we try it alone. See, the only hope we have for victory over the sinful passions in our hearts is to replace those sinful passions with the holy passion for Christ. You can't just say, I'm not going to hate. You have to begin loving your neighbor. You cannot just say, I'm not going to covet the stuff that I don't have right now. You have to begin to be content with Christ. David contributed to his own pain with his sinful passions. He also bore the long-term pain of the violence in his family. David had riches and power, but the one thing that made a difference in David's life was not resolve or an ability to control his desires. It was the Lord. He revealed the secret passion in his heart that grew and ultimately drove him. In Psalm 16, verses 5 and 6, David confessed, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup." Speaking to God directly, "You are my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance." You see, when you discover the incredible joy of a reconciled relationship to God through Christ Jesus, our Lord, Christ will be your greatest pleasure. His Spirit will place a love for God in your heart that you could not generate yourself, and your love for him will be the passion that drives you to follow him. As that love for Christ that comes from the Holy Spirit pours into your heart, it will push out your covetous desire and hatred and begin to drive you like your sinful passions once did. And you know, the greatest example of this, I think, is the Apostle Paul. He was driven by a hatred for Christ and anyone who was associated with Christ. But Jesus changed Paul's life, a life that was driven by ambition and hatred for the church. Paul changed his life with his love and his grace, such that the man who had this persevering and powerful drive to murder God's people, when Christ worked in his heart, he transformed him so that Paul was driven by this. He wrote, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing work of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Those are the words of a totally different man. These are not the words of the man who held the cloaks of those who stoned Stephen in Acts 7. These are the words of a man who had been regenerated and transformed by the love and grace of God in Christ. And you know, he can do the same in your life. So if you're struggling with the appeal and the attraction and the seduction of sinful passions in your life, I want you to begin to think about the riches that you have received in Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Christ, I want to tell you that all of the passions and lust in your life that drive you, they will lead you to your ruin. But the love, a love for Christ, will lead you to eternal glory, eternal salvation, eternal joy. So turn to him. Seek comfort in him. Turn from your sin and find your rest and peace in Christ. I want you to think about today and tonight and the rest of the week the riches you have received in Christ. He's given you himself, and he's given you eternal life, and he will forgive those sinful passions of your heart and your hands. And so ask the question of your heart, why do I find my sinful passion so desirable? Why do I find something that will only leave me empty and destroyed and leave a shipwreck all around me? Why do I find my sinful passion so desirable when I have Christ? So desire Christ. Desire his grace that he might deliver you, and that a passion for him, the love of God that the Spirit will fill you with, by his grace, might deliver you from your sin. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask your forgiveness now. I think every one of us here must be honest before your face tonight and confess that we have wicked desires and passions and interests in our heart, whether it's lust or hatred or desire or bitterness. These things live in our hearts. And we thank you for the work of your Spirit to put them at bay and ultimately put them to death. But Lord, we still, on this side of our death, this side of our glorification, are struggling with sin. Although our hearts may, or our minds may want to serve Christ, our hearts still have an appetite for sin. So Lord, cause your Spirit to work in us. Provide a way out of the temptation to continue to meditate upon these lusts in our hearts. And free us from the power of our sinful passions, that we might be enslaved to the power of Christ, enslaved to righteousness, that we might know the sweet satisfaction of reconciliation with you, joy of salvation in your Spirit, leading and guiding us to yourself. Lord, deliver us, forgive us, and wash us clean and white as snow. And Lord, give us faith that as we set our eyes to the resurrection, when we will finally, as body and soul, be free from the sin that still clings to our flesh, give us grace today to persevere, to hate our sin as you do, and to love Christ and love righteousness. We ask this because without your mercy, we will have no hope. We pray it in Christ's name, the one who was tempted in every way as yet we are. You know how to be compassionate. You know how to be sympathetic to us as we struggle in our sin. So please send your Spirit. Please use your word in our lives to help us, that we may walk in newness of life. Amen.